And from the KTOO newsroom here in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Two of Juneau's childcare centers are closing after months of trying to hire new administrators. This will make the town's shortage of childcare options even worse, especially for kids under two. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
Parents in Juneau have few options when it comes to childcare for babies and toddlers. The list gets even smaller this week as the Gold Creek Child Development Center and the Aurora Lights Childcare Center both close. Discovery Preschool is still open, but it had to close its waitlist application due to high demand after the closures. Rosemary Williams is the preschool's owner and administrator.
Our waitlist is so long that, you know, some of these children will be in first, second grade by the time we have space available.
She says the waitlist was already long, especially for their infant room.
I have parents that are, you know, pregnant on the waitlist for the infant room. Parents that are planning on getting pregnant, asking about waitlist applications, just because the childcare need in Juneau is so huge.
Gold Creek is located downtown in the Federal Building. It had between 40 and 45 students before it closed, and others were on a waitlist. A dozen staff members were laid off. Gold Creek is temporarily closed until the board finds a new executive director. Ashley Snooks is on the board.
There's just been a lot of interest in helping us in the short term, but, you know, finding somebody who wants to be able to make this their long-term career, I think that's a little bit different. And we just haven't been able to find the right person.
Aurora Lights Childcare Center in the Valley is closing for the same reason. They can't find a new administrator. They announced the closure to families and staff in mid-October and intended to stay open through March. But a drop in enrollment and loss of staff led them to close this week. Outgoing administrator Betty Sesh says other childcare centers were offering higher pay.
We don't have outside resources like some of the other bigger centers that may be funded by the state or funded by federal funds. So it's really hard to compete with others that can offer higher wages and benefits that we just cannot as a smaller facility.
Sesh says Aurora Lights had 8 students and 3 staff members left before it closed. She's not sure where those students will go next. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
When Homer resident Kelsey Haas fell into an open patch of icy water earlier this winter, she didn't panic. It was her first time falling through the ice, but as a guide and avid adventurer, Haas knew a few techniques to get out of the frozen water safely. However, as KBBI's Desiree Hagen reports, Haas didn't quite expect the key role a dead snowshoe hare would play.
Kelsey Haas was skating to Gruen Glacier in late November with a group of about a dozen people, whom she describes as experienced adventurers.
We had all of the rescue gear. We had the throw ropes. We had ice screws. We were testing the thickness of the ice as we went.
The glacier Haas and her friend set out for has become a popular destination in Ketchikan Bay State Park, especially in the winter. It's about a 2-mile trek, some over a frozen lake, to get to the massive 13-mile-long glacier. The 29-year-old hiking and rafting guide has been there many times before, both in warm and winter months.
I have a lot of experience in really, really cold temperatures. The cold does not really scare me.
Things normally go pretty well, but Haas says she wants to share the story of a trip in November that didn't quite go as planned, to remind people of the risk of skating on thin ice in open water.
So don't do what I did, folks.
Her rescue story, though, is pretty unique and involves a dead snowshoe hare. Haas says she found the carcass on the ice while exploring around the glacier. She thought it was kind of mysterious.
It wasn't warm. It wasn't like super stiff, but it wasn't like, I want this to eat it.
Haas decided to hold on to the carcass. She wanted to take it home to skin it and save the fur. Fast forward to a little later in the day. The sun was about to set and Haas and the rest of her crew discovered an interesting ice formation.
And there's this giant, beautiful iceberg that just had this like perfectly picturesque arch, like right in the middle of the iceberg. And we all knew that it was really thin ice and that it wouldn't be a good idea.
Haas says the arch was too beautiful and tempting and that she wanted to skate through despite the risk.
So definitely not a smart idea. Definitely well aware of that.
In hindsight, she knew that there was a possibility that the ice might be too thin. But if anything did happen, there was a trained group of people who were well-equipped close by who could help if she fell into the icy lake. Plus, Haas had extra warm clothes in her backpack. So she tempted fate and skated through the arch as fast as she could. But
instead of finding thin ice, which probably would have been okay, I found like an open hole of water.
When Haas fell into the water, she says her instinct kicked in. Instantly cold. She knew she needed to turn around the way she had come.
You know that that ice behind you like held your body weight until it didn't. You don't know what the ice in front of you is going to look like.
She says she also knew that she needed to position her body horizontally rather than vertically. This would make it easier to pull herself up and out of the water and onto the solid ice. Haas says the dry bag she carried on her back and the air inside it also acted as a makeshift flotation device. And she still had the snowshoe hair with her.
Don't know how I didn't let that go.
Once Haas reached the ice's edge, she says she slapped the hair on a shelf of ice. The wet hair quickly froze onto the cold surface. Haas says she used the frozen snowshoe hair like an anchor
to kind of pull myself out and over, and crawled myself out, stood up.
Haas says thanks to the hair, she was out of the water before her friends could help with their throw ropes and other rescue equipment in hand.
And I remember I just looked at them and I was like, I just have to like just go. Like I just have to skate as fast as possible and work my body temperature back up. Still holding the snowshoe hair. Still have the snowshoe hair.
Once she made it back to shore, there was a group waiting for her.
It was like a pit crew. Like everyone just swarmed me. Took off all my clothes, but I don't really remember like whose clothes I was wearing. I looked like a giant marshmallow.
Haas says one of the biggest struggles was taking her skis off. The laces were frozen solid. She remembers three people on each skate pulling and struggling to remove them. After she was able to get her skates off, she still had a mile and a half hike to the water taxi pickup spot.
My coldest thing was my feet. On the hike back, my feet were definitely pretty numb the whole way.
While Haas says she was able to laugh about the situation immediately afterwards, she says it definitely affected her days later.
When I was trying to sleep, like anytime I closed my eyes, I'd kind of have a flashback and like didn't sleep for a couple days. And that's when I realized like, okay, this was probably more traumatic than I thought at the time.
Haas says the most important thing to be aware of is your personal safety while exploring places like Gruen Glacier.
Even though it's an absolutely gorgeous place and it's an incredible adventure and you're ice skating around icebergs and the glaciers and mountains, it's so, so important to recognize that level of risk. Always have dry clothes, always use a dry bag, have a throw rope, have all the things you need to get people out of that ice. And just do it really safely.
And as for the snowshoe hair that Haas used to pull herself out of the icy water,
I want to make slippers. Definitely want to make slippers out of it.
In Homer, I'm Desiree Hagen.
And Wrangell School District is working to transition its COVID-19 mitigation policy to one more generally focused on keeping illnesses out of schools. Superintendent Bill Burr went through the policy changes with the school board members at a meeting on January 16th.
We want to protect our students from every illness, not just COVID-specific.
Burr says the district is still focused on keeping sickness out of schools, but it's a new phase of the pandemic. One of the biggest changes was actually implemented last month. Burr says he highlighted the policy change again on Monday. Wrangell student-athletes are no longer required to test before traveling to other communities for games.
We're encouraging testing before travel. The CDC still recommends group travel, but we have gotten a good testing program. It is optional. We do have tests, and we do it still encourage people.
The school's revised mitigation plan still encourages masks when recovering from illnesses like COVID. The CDC recommends that anyone who tests positive for COVID-19 isolate for at least 5 days. If they've been fever-free for 24 hours, they can return to work or school, but they should wear a mask for the next 5 days. Health officials say anyone with the flu should stay home for 3 to 4 days after symptoms develop, or 24 hours until after their last fever, whichever comes first.
This is highly encouraged, and this doesn't apply just to COVID symptoms. We do have a number of illnesses that have gone around It's not a requirement, but I just wanted to clarify that it's still encouraged for the sake of our staff and other students.
Masking in schools has been controversial throughout the pandemic. If you want more stories like these, check out KTOO.org. This is KTOO.